I see a lot of people that are suffering in the state of Wisconsin, and they're just plain paying too much taxes. The tax increases of the Doyle administration are being felt across the state of Wisconsin today. I'm here today because I believe that we should have lower taxes in the state of Wisconsin. I believe as a candidate for governor, we should have a solid, legitimate, tested plan to reduce the taxes in the state of Wisconsin. I want to start by saying that I recognize that when we look at the budget that we have today, I brought charts, by the way, because when I have charts, my picture's worth 1,000 words, and I don't think you guys want to stay while I say 1,000 words. When I look at spending and revenue in the budget from the past cycle, I understand that the revenues that are actually coming in from taxes as related to the spending that's actually going on, that the stimulus bill and the gimmicks that they're using in budgeting, I understand that they actually have a shortfall, and they fixed that shortfall by utilization of the stimulus and gimmicks in the budget, and that can't continue long term. What this plan is it shows exactly how we are going to get from where we are to a significant reductions in taxes across the state of Wisconsin. If we look at this line represents spending. I will be proposing specifically a spending cap at 1% under the rate of inflation. That will effectively mean that we are shrinking the size and scope of government in the state of Wisconsin by 1% for each year that I'm in office. If you look at this, we are assuming a 3% inflation rate. If we have a 3% inflation rate, that will mean that spending increases actually grow at a 2% rate. On the revenue side of this thing, where we have the problem currently, we're going to look for revenue to the state because of two things. Revenue grows because of real growth in the economy. And that's not hard to understand. When we attract a business and it brings jobs to the state of Wisconsin, those people pay taxes in. That's real growth in the economy. The second reason that revenue grow is because of inflation. So if we have inflation at 3% and real growth in the economy at 2%, we would then expect a 5% revenue growth line. So what we're seeing in this picture is how we get from where we are today with a budget that is out of whack because of budget gimmicks and shell games and stimulus to a point where the budget is truly balanced, and then into surplus so that we can actually cut taxes. If you take a look at this, the first year that I will be in office is about from here to here, and we will have, and you can see there's more space over here than there is back here from that first year, which means that we will be in a position to cut taxes the first year I am in office, and our first budget cycle will definitely have tax cuts included in it. If you follow this on a longer term basis, and I'm going to start now where we are actually in balance in this budget. If we can keep the spending going up at 1% under the rate of inflation, at the same time revenues are growing at real growth plus inflation, that is 5% if you use the 2 and 3 numbers, we will actually create a significant surplus in the state of Wisconsin, and that's the money that we use to actually cut taxes in the state of Wisconsin. This is a real plan. It does work. And actually, if I could have that other chart, please. I know this is just a little bit hokey, what I'm going to show you right now. But when I started running for Congress in 1992, and I pulled this out of my history stuff this morning, it's laying in a room in my house, and I pulled it out. This is a thing that was put together by one of our employees. When I first started running for Congress, he put it together for me. But I want to emphasize that the plan that we took to Washington, D.C. 16 years ago, we understood that spending at the federal level was going up by 8%, while at the same time revenues were going up by 6%. And since spending was going up faster than revenues, we were getting a huge deficit at the federal government level. We believed, and we took the theory there, that if we could slow the growth rate of spending down to 2%, that in fact the lines would cross, a surplus would be created, and we could cut taxes. Now, if you look at these two charts side by side, you'll see these charts look an awful lot alike. And in fact, folks, if I have with me here, this is a budget booklet that we produced in my first few months in office out there. It is a line-by-line directive as to how we accomplished what's in that chart. And if you look at this book, it was written in 1995 when they were laughing at us saying we're going to balance the budget and cut taxes. We projected in this book that we would have a balanced budget by 1999. We had a balanced budget in 1999. We did it once before, and we can do it again right here in the state of Wisconsin. If the people decide to elect me governor, I've been through this once before. I went there, we got the job done, and they should expect that we're going to do the same thing here in the state of Wisconsin. They should be expecting very significant tax cuts across the board during my first term in office, and if they choose to reelect me during my second term. I'd be happy to take questions.
Mark, how much of this is dependent on how the economy does overall, not only here in Wisconsin, but nationally?
Well, again, when I go back to this chart, this is what we thought was going to happen. What actually happened when we cut taxes And we got to a point where the people kept more of their own money. The job creation was far greater than any of us imagined. And so it actually outperformed what I'm talking about up here. This is conditioned upon a 2% growth in the real growth in the economy, which most people would tell us is a fairly conservative number coming out of the recession. And it is conditioned upon a 3% inflation number. But in all fairness, the inflation number is not particularly relevant because whatever that inflation number is, we cap the spending growth at 1% less than inflation. So the real key is this real growth in the economy. We could see 4 or 5% real growth in the economy as we come out of this recession, which would make this grow much faster and allow us to cut taxes even faster.
Within that first year, are you saying you would address the state's ongoing structural deficit?
Yes, sir. And that's exactly what I'm showing in this area. I mean, this area is the structural deficit that you're hearing about. It's a stimulus money, and it's the gimmicks that they use to balance the budget. So I'm showing here how we actually do this. If you check back on the years when I was in Congress, this is what happened. This is a picture of what happened while I was in Congress, and there's absolutely no reason we can't do it here in the state of Wisconsin. It goes back to the general philosophy, general understanding, that if you cut taxes, people keep more of their own money. When they keep more of their own money, there's only two things they can do. They can either spend it, and that means somebody has to provide the goods and services for whatever they're buying, that's jobs, or they can save it, in which case it becomes capital for our businesses to grow and expand, and that ultimately is more jobs. So the whole thing spurs on the economy, and of course that's the intent here.
So I mean, after you introduce your first budget and the Fiscal Bureau puts out these memos on what the structural deficit would be pretty regularly,
yep.
They would say that structural deficit would be gone under the budget you
proposed. Yes, and remember, when I went to Washington, the budget was 50 times larger, more than 50 times larger than what we're working with here. And we didn't have only structural deficits there. They had real deficits there that clearly they were actually borrowing the money to pay it as opposed to using the gimmicks that are being used here in Wisconsin. So it was worse there than what we're looking at here. This math works. I mean, the cold, hard facts are that the mathematics, I'm an old math teacher, the math works. And it worked in Washington. We can do it here in Wisconsin.
What taxes are you going to cut?
I would like to see across the board. I mean, first I would like to undo the Doyle tax increases of the last administration. And then I would like to go beyond that and cut other taxes. And again, the philosophy is the more money we can keep in the pockets of people instead of in the state of Wisconsin, the better off we're going to be.
If you take out the structural deficit and then reverse the Doyle tax cuts, you're getting up in the neighborhood of $4 billion there. That's real money. I mean,
this is real money. And
what would you cut to be able to...
Spending cuts, no. You're on the spending side. Okay,
right.
Spending side is extremely important. If we understand this, and in Washington they really followed this up. They talked about draconian cuts across the board, and it scared people that somehow all their goods and services were going to be disrupted. What I'm saying is we're going to cap the growth rate of spending at 1% under the rate of inflation, and we may be able to do better. In all fairness, we might be able to do better. But what that really says is we're going to reduce the size and scope of government in Wisconsin by $1 out of every $100 that's being spent every year I'm in office. And I would find very few people around the state of Wisconsin that would think we can't reduce government spending by $1 in real dollar terms for every $100 they're spending. And I've got to be honest with you, if we were looking for 15, I would be scared. If I was looking for 15% cuts or something, but a $1 out of 100 is something we can do. And we can do it without disrupting services across the state.
Of some of the big areas of state government, where do you think those spending cuts would need to be targeted? I mean, are you talking K-12? Medical assistance?
When folks hear the word cut, myself included as a math teacher, I'm thinking if I spend $100 last year, I'm going to get to spend $99 next year. But that's not actually what this means. If you spend $100 last year and we have 3% inflation, you're going to get to spend $102 next year. Okay, so it is a real dollar cut, but you're still likely to see spending increases because of inflation. And again, I've got to tell you, I would prefer a freeze. I would prefer no spending increases, and we may be able to get there. But this is a promise that I've made before and I was able to keep, and I'm literally laying out the same promise for the people in the state of Wisconsin. We may be able to do better.
Mark, can you compare and contrast the political climate between when you were in Washington and today and how that factors into your
profession? Sure. I think that's a very significant question. When we were in Washington, we had a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Democrat president. And we may have Republican Assembly and Senate here, but even if we don't, as a Republican with the mixture like we had out there, we got the job done. We got bipartisan support for what we were doing, and we literally got the job done. And that was in many, many different areas, not only budget. You heard Tommy Thompson talk about welfare reform today. I actually carried the welfare reform waiver on the floor of the House so that he could implement welfare reform here in the state of Wisconsin. We got large bipartisan support for it. So this is something we're going to have to work with on both sides of the aisle. We're going to have to be listening to both Republicans and Democrats to get the job done.
Is listening the primary strategy you're going to be using to garnish that kind of bipartisan support?
I'm looking for support from the people. As you may know, our campaign has got the largest following on Facebook of any gubernatorial race in the country. I am very optimistic that the people that are following us on Facebook and thousands more across the state are going to put pressure on their elected officials to cause them to pass this sort of legislation. So I'm looking for this to be action of the people, and I'm looking for the support of the people. We are visiting main streets all across Wisconsin, small business owners that own the shops on the main streets in our communities, and I expect the support to come from there. Eventually, that transfers into support from elected officials, both Democrats and Republicans.
Mark, you heard people at the rally talking about the need to cut the size of state of government at all levels.
Right.
Now, you say you can accomplish this budget blueprint without any discernible reduction in state services.
1% out of $1 in every $100 that they're spending needs to go away each year in real dollar terms.
Mm-hmm. But okay. I thought I heard you say folks are not going to see a reduction in state services under this plan.
I believe that you can have efficiencies that more than compensate for 1%. Look, guys, I'm a small business owner. I'm a home builder. And I got to tell you that from 2004 to today, like I said before, 15% would be a better number than 1%. So I've been through this in the private sector. We had to do this with our businesses or we would not still be in business. Do I think government can do 1/15th of what we did in our business? Yeah. And do I think we can do better than what I'm promising here? Yes. But am I willing to put my name on the line for this promise? Yes, I am. In other words, I'm trying to underpromise so I can overperform as governor, as we do in our business.
How does this help you capitalize on the energy of the Tea Party movement?
They want smaller government, and this is clearly a systematic, incremental reduction in the size and scope of government in the state of Wisconsin. And I keep going back to you guys, I hope we can do better than what I have in this picture. I'm putting my name on this promise because I know I can get this far. I'm optimistic we can do better.
Anybody else?
Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks,
you guys coming.
So much, yep. Guys.